And just when you think they're starting to fade, they do something exciting like this. Last night, the Red Sox were behind 10-9, down to their last out in the bottom of the ninth against the Cleveland Indians. Two men on base and catcher Christian Vasquez at the plate.
Deep center. And gone.
And gone. Vasquez knocked it out of the park, his first walk-off home run, and the Red Sox beat the Cleveland Indians 12-10, reclaim first place just ahead of the New York Yankees in the American League East by a half game. And joining us now for our weekly chat about sports is Shira Springer, WBUR Sports and Society reporter. Hi, Shira.
Hello, Anthony.
So let's start with what happened at Fenway Park last night. That was a pretty fun moment.
Oh, it was incredible. I think Xander Bogaerts described the game as a PlayStation game because there was so much back and forth last night. First of all, it starts out with Chris Sale pitching, and you think, oh, this is a gimme. He's going to give you a great start. And of course, he gives up a season high 7 runs, I think 5 of those in the first 2 innings.
And that's unusual.
Very unusual. Yeah. And you can just, you know, Red Sox fans are shaking their heads saying, this is not our night. This is not our night. But back and forth, back and forth. And then there was probably the best catch of the season, but this was not by a Red Sox player. It was by Cleveland center fielder Austin Jackson, leaping grab of what should have been, robbed Hanley Ramirez of a home run. And not only did he rob him, with leaping grab, tumbled into the bullpen. And it was such a good catch that some of the Red Sox relievers afterwards were saying they wanted to applaud until they realized they came sort of back to consciousness and realized, oh,
wait a minute,
wait a second.
He's with the other team.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And then you have these couple of wild pitches in the bottom of the ninth inning that sets up, you know, the stage for Vasquez. So
it's amazing because Vasquez wasn't even supposed to be in the lineup last night, right?
Yeah, I know. Sandy Leon usually catches Sale.
And what I love is
his sore right knee, and then all of a sudden, you know, Vasquez is getting, you know,
and then he wasn't even supposed to be at bat because Mitch Moreland had struck out, third out.
Yes, yes.
And then manages to get to first on a pass ball.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's one of those games that you wonder if you look back, you know, as you're in the playoffs, and it's this magical night last night. And this was sort of like a turning point where everything sort of clicked in and this became a team of destiny, so to speak. You know, somebody should probably knock on some wood at this point after saying that. But yeah, it was one of those magical games last night that could be sort of a propel them to bigger and better things.
Well, we've got other stuff to talk about, but what does your gut tell you here? Because it seems like, you know, they were in first, they've been sort of flirting with staying in first, then they fell below first. The Yankees kind of caught up with them. What's your feeling about this team?
Isn't it with you? My gut's sort of all over the place. I mean, it's just been this roller coaster of a year, but I think if they can stay healthy, I think they have a good chance of playing for, you know, the AL championship. I do think, though, the Astros are probably the team to beat. But, you know, a lot can happen. I mean, it seems like, you know, September, the end of September, the playoffs are close. But really, 2 months is a lot of time in a Major League Baseball season. A lot of time for things to go wrong, a lot of time for players to get injured, and a lot of time for a team like the Red Sox to really get some dominant momentum.
All right. Well, we got to talk about the Olympics, because in a break with tradition, the International Olympic Committee announced 2 of the next host cities for the Olympic Games. Paris will host in 2024 and Los Angeles in 2028. Now, Paris and LA were the last cities standing going head-to-head for the 2024 Games after all other rivals, including Boston, by the way, pulled their bids.
This could have been us. We could have been Boston 2028.
So what do you think about that?
Listen, this is what had to be done. The IOC really had no choice. It was backed into a corner. Paris was saying it didn't want to host the 2028 Games. Some of the land they're dedicating for facilities, they have other plans for that they want to get moving on. So they basically said, for us, it's 2024 or bust. And let's be fair, Paris has been on the losing end a number of times. Most recently, they thought they had it in the bag, and then in 2012 for the 2012 Games, and then London pulled it out. So Paris was like, you know, listen, 2024 or we're not in it for 2028. And I think the IOC was standing back looking and saying, man, we have had a run of really bad luck and bad optics when it comes to bid city candidacies. Lots of cities dropping out like Boston did. And so they were coming down to these 2-city races. And sometimes the cities weren't all that attractive. Let's not forget that in 2022, Beijing is going to be hosting the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was a contest between Beijing and Almaty, Kazakhstan. So, you know, they looked at this. They say, listen, we have two great cities, L.A. and Paris. Let's work it out and let's, you know, negotiate in a way that can make it appealing for both cities.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
So to what extent do you think there is some, I don't know, regret here in Boston that they that Boston dropped the bid? The Boston Globe was editorializing about this today.
I don't think there should be regret.
Yeah.
Because L.A. is a much different situation than Boston. Let's be clear here. L.A. has a lot of the facilities it needs, the Staples Center, Pauley Pavilion. It has the athletes village already essentially constructed if they use dorms from UCLA and USC. Boston had none of that. This was going to be a much, much bigger undertaking for Boston, much more expensive, much more risky. The risk is a bit mitigated. This will be LA's third time hosting the games. They last hosted in 1984. They know what they're doing. They have facilities. Let's not also forget the Coliseum where the opening ceremonies were held in 1984.
So LA is an Olympic city. Boston has the Freedom Trail. So
exactly.
We should just be happy
with that. I mean, this was not, I don't think of Boston as an Olympic city. I think they made the right call. It's a much LA is much better suited to host.
All right, let's move on quickly and talk about the NFL. There was a fan forum Monday where NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell answered questions about the link between football and CTE, the brain disease connected to repeated head trauma. Now, sitting next to the commissioner was Jamal Adams, a rookie safety for the New York Jets, who weighed in and said this.
If I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. I would be at peace. Literally, I would be at peace.
So what's the reaction to Adams' comments, which are sort of extraordinary?
Well, I think there are two reactions. Obviously, you heard the reaction there. This was a fan forum, and you actually had people applauding him saying this. And again, this was in the wake of that CTE study and in the wake of so many veteran football players, you know, retired veterans coming out and saying, listen, I have depression, I have dementia, I have severe memory loss. It's because of head trauma suffered, or what they believe is because of head trauma suffered during their NFL careers. So I think there was sort of this mixed reaction. You have people there and you have fans that are sort of almost blinded to the effects of, you know, later in life that these players are suffering through. And I think, though, on the sort of the sports pundit side, there was a lot of like, ugh, this is not the image that the NFL wants to be portraying. They're trying, you know, Goodell is trying to say that, you know, they have rules in place that are making the game safer, and they are trying to increase the self-reporting of concussions and trying to get rid of this culture where players sort of just accept concussions and injuries as part of the game.
And if it's going to kill you, hey, what better place to die than the gridiron? What was Goodell's response here?
He didn't really respond that strongly. He basically emphasized the fact that they're putting more rules in place to make the game safer. He didn't talk about the most recent CTE study results. He sort of just tried to push it aside, which is kind of the NFL's modus operandi when it comes to these things.
All right, really interesting. Shira Springer is WBUR sports and society reporter. Thanks for being with us today, Shira.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.